Chapter 15. The Coming of the Glotkin.
Shields! Gardus roared. Use your shields, no blades! These are not your enemies!
He charged towards the creature that had wounded Grim, bullying aside the shrieking dryads that tried to intercept him. Grim's griffhound loped at his side.
Why is this happening? He thought.
The being crouched over Grim was the Lady of Vines. He recognized the branch wraith from the Glade of Horned Growths. It was she who had saved him from his wounds and whispered answers to his questions. It was she who had seen to his return to his storm host.
Why are you doing this?
He called out. Behind him he heard the sound of his stormcasts striving to defend themselves from the Sylvaneth pouring out of the forest on all sides. As the men died and the sky was filled with blue light, he bolted into the Ring of Menhirs. The branch wraith shrieked and lashed out at Tegras and his prosecutors as they dived at her, trying to draw her away from the limp form of the Lord Castellant. As Gardus drew close, she spun and lashed out at him with a thorny tendril. Talon leapt, catching hold of the vine in his beak before it could reach Gardus. The griffhound held on, even as the branch wraith swung him through the air, trying to dislodge him. Gardus caught another vine as it slashed at him and wrapped it around his forearm.
Lady, heed me,
he cried, trying to catch the creature's attention.
Why are you doing this? How have we offended you? Why has it come to this?
The creature's blazing green eyes met his, and the Lady of Vines stretched out a gnarled hand and pointed, trembling with rage, towards the other side of the veil. Gardus turned, his heart sinking, as he heard the blare of grotesque horns and the thud of war drums.
No, he whispered. Oh, no.
Pouring down the opposite valley wall was a wave of feculent fluid, and knee-deep in it were horde upon horde of chaos worshippers of every size and description. It was as if every follower of Nurgle in Gyron had come to this place in answer to some powerful call. There were goat-headed beastmen, scurrying skaven and fat-bellied demons, and at their head a lumpen giant upon whose shoulders sat two gesticulating champions of the plague god. As Gardus watched in growing horror, the vanguard of the plague legion smashed headlong into the dryads spilling from the trees.
We led them here, Gardus said hollowly.
It was the only way the lost and the damned could have found their way to this place. He turned back to the Lady of Vines, but no words came to his lips as he looked up into the grief-twisted features of the branch wraith.
Yes, son of Azir.
Gardus turned, as all about the Menhir glade the trees shook down to their roots. As one, the dryads sank to their knees, and the air grew still and heavy. Every loose leaf, twig, and branch in the glade was caught up in a whirlwind that carried them towards the trees, and as they moved, Gardus thought he saw a shape coalescing within them. Not human, not quite, but something else. Something older. And at once as vast as the hidden veil and as small as the flowers that sprouted in its wake. As the whirlwind struck them and dissipated, the trees twisted towards one another, entwining their branches together, weaving twig and leaf to form a female face. A face Gardus recognized, though he had never seen it before, save in murals and bas-reliefs.
Alariel, he whispered.
Burning jade eyes met his own, and a voice as powerful as a summer storm, as piercing as the whisper of a thousand winds, spoke.
You have led the enemy to my sanctuary, Gardus of Azir. Whatever your reasons, I have awakened from my dreams of more pleasant times. Athelweard is invaded. This day, the armies of Azir and Gyron must fight together, or we will surely die apart.
The Radiant Queen said, her words carried by creaking branches and rustling leaves.
Whatever I once desired, now only sad necessity remains. Fight, my children. Fight, sons of the storm. Fight!
Her voice rose to a keening wail, shaking the Menhirs and causing Gardus to clutch at his ears. As the trees returned to their previous positions and the echoes of her voice faded, a wash of emerald light flooded the glade.
Grim groaned as the Lady of Vine stepped back. Gardas looked down and saw to his amazement that the other man's wounds had been healed. Grim looked up at him.
"I'm not dead," he said,
as he grabbed his halberd and levered himself up. The Lady of Vine strode past them, stalking towards the battle, her thorny tendrils lashing in fury.
"Not yet," Gardas said, "but the day is not yet done."
He gestured to the Nurgle army. More had arrived in the moment since Alariel's words. As the deluge of filth spilled into the Hidden Vale, the dire fug that followed the plague worshippers swept along the valley floor, corrupting vast swathes of lush vegetation. Pox-afflicted Skaven scurried through the dying undergrowth, the smoking scents as they whirled above their cowled heads only adding to the foulness in the air. When dryads moved to bar their path, they were smashed to smoking flinders. As he and Grim headed to join their men, Gardas heard Morbus chanting. The Lord Relictor's voice rose up, and the cloudscape of Athelweard seemed to respond as he invoked the energies of the tempest. The gathering storm fought against the noxious plague clouds, and each ebbed and swelled in turn. The boom of thunder echoed down the valley, shaking the combatants to their bones and causing the great trees that covered the slopes to tremble down to their very roots.
"Gather as many men as you can. Form a shield wall around the glade," Gardas said, as he backhanded a squealing Skaven with his hammer. "You must be the rock that this foul sea cannot wear down."
"What about you?"
Grim said, chopping down on a plague bearer. He spun his weapon in a circle, cutting down a second demon.
"I intend to take the battle to the enemy," Gardas said.
He drove his sword through a snarling beastman's gut. More of the goat-headed creatures charged towards him, as the sickly rain clouds overhead thickened and fat black raindrops began to fall. Gardas swung his hammer in a wide arc, splintering bones and crushing skulls. He heard Grim bellowing orders behind him, and he smiled grimly.
"Stand fast, my friend. Be the shield, and I shall be the sword."
He moved forward at a trot, dispatching any creature that sought to bar his path. Across the vale, warriors clashed. Wooden-clawed dryads slaughtered Skaven and beastmen alike as looming tree lords strode into battle with earth-shaking strides. Hallowed knights, astral templars, and guardians of the firmament fought back to back against the innumerable hordes surrounding them. Gardas smashed the skull of a plaguebearer and caught sight of Zavaclius standing over the body of a fallen tree lord, defending the Silverneth against its attackers. He saw Ultrades and his paladins fighting their way towards Morbus, who drew lightning down from the boiling skies and sent it crackling into the massed ranks of plaguebearers which stumbled towards him.
"Only the faithful!"
Gardas shouted, forcing his voice to carry over the clangor of battle. His men responded in kind, and Gardas fought all the harder. He would not fail.
"Only the faithful!"
he cried again, crushing cyclopean heads with every swing of his hammer. White flames crackled across his weapons and armor as he stormed through the bloody melee, gathering his warriors about him.
"Fight, brothers! Fight in Sigmar's name! Fight!"
"Gardas!"
a horribly familiar voice thundered, interrupting him. He whirled, smashing aside an armored warrior. "No," he thought, filled with a sudden loathing.
"Gardas!"
the voice called again. And Gardas looked up as something immense rolled down into the valley like a giant boulder, scattering demons and stormcasts alike as it hurtled across the field through the driving rain. When it stopped, the shape rose to its full towering height, a flail made from the skulls of giants whirling about its antlered head.
"I know you are here. Did you think you could escape, Bolothrax?"
the greater demon roared, smashing stormcasts aside.
"Where are you, Gardas? Where are you, Garadan? Face me, unless you plan to flee again."
Bolothrax paused, eyes widening as he caught sight of Gardas.
"Ooh, there you are,"
he burbled, and started towards the Lord Celestant, flail whirling and plague sword drawn. Gardas stared at the great unclean one. He snapped out of it a moment before the greater demon struck the ground perilously close to him.
He was knocked sprawling by the impact. Gardas rolled aside as the weapon slammed down again.
"Stop squirming,"
Bolothrax gurgled as he waddled in pursuit.
"You led the Grandfather's legions here, and I'm obliged to make your death quick."
Gardas flung himself aside. He crashed into a fallen oak and hauled himself over it. Between the rain and the confusion of battle, the demon lost sight of him, and he had a moment to catch his breath. Quickly he took stock of the battle. He saw with some relief that Grimm had managed to organize a shield wall, and that Morbus and the others were fighting their way towards it. "Hold fast, brothers," he thought. "We might still be able to preserve this place." Bolothrax's flail crashed down, shattering the oak. The force of the blow sent Gardas sliding through the muck.
"Oh, found you,"
Bolothrax roared gleefully. Gardas rolled to his feet and lunged. Hammer and blade both found their mark and bounced off the demon's rubbery flesh. Bolothrax laughed and thrust his blade down. The stormcast stepped aside, and the great sword slammed into the muck. He spun, set his foot onto the flat of the rusty sword, and ran up its length. Bolothrax gaped as the Lord Celestin leapt towards him. The demon jerked his head back, but too late, and Gardas's sword pierced the creature's bulging eye. Bolothrax shrieked and swiped his flail about his head blindly. Gardas was caught by the pox-hardened skulls and sent flying. He smashed into a standing stone and flopped into the muck, weapons lost, body a mass of pain. As he tried to push himself up, one of Bolothrax's splayed feet came down on his back. Gardas cried out as his spine cracked and a tidal wave of agony washed through him. The skull flail came down a moment later, and one of his legs was reduced to a red ruin, pulverized by the blow.
"No more running, Garadan,"
Bolothrax grunted as he looked down at Gardas.
"Pain is but a door to experience, as the Grandfather says. It does wonders for the soul. Just ask Torglug the Despised. We made a man of him. I wonder what we shall make of you when you have suffered enough, eh?"
The Great Unclean One reached down and snatched Gardas up by his remaining ankle. Gardas couldn't breathe. He clutched weakly at the air, reaching for weapons that were not there. The ghosts had gathered beneath him and were staring up with mournful gazes. They did not speak, but they did not need to. Gardas coughed and felt his shattered ribs dig into the soft places within him.
"I shall put you somewhere safe until you are ready to be reborn,"
Bolothrax chortled, as he reached down and lifted his belly folds wide, exposing the swirling vortex within him.
"What do you say to that, eh?"
Gardas stared at the vortex, a black maw of horror, as deep and as dark as the spaces between the stars. His mouth was dry, but he forced the words out regardless.
"Only the faithful,"
he croaked. Bolothrax began to laugh. Gardas closed his eyes.